Good morning, Fruitland
morning.
Baptist Church. How are you today?
All right.
Is it an absolutely beautiful day? I mean, the sun, the warmth. Love it. Just love it. Let's see. We have a time for me to pray. So here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the spectacular day, Lord, you give us today. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to your house today. Thank you for those that made it, Lord. We pray for our nation, Lord. Thank you so much for it. Guide and direct us, Lord. We know the trouble we're in, but we pray, Lord, that you'll see us through, and we know that you will. Thank you, Lord, for our jobs, Lord, our lives, everything that we have, Lord, because of you. Just seeing us through everything that we come across, Lord, day by day and week by week. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, and his wife. Thank you for his commitment, Lord, to your word. That she's beside him, Lord, also all the way. Pastor's going to speak here just a little bit, Lord. Oh, Lord, give him the power he needs to deliver your message today, that it might touch someone's heart here today, that they might get right before they leave. Lord, we're going to do some singing. Our choir's going to sing later. We just pray for a great day here today, Lord, one that would honor and glorify your name, Lord, in each and everything that we do. Thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see our first song, 801. Let's stand, please. 801.
Oh,
Let's see. How about page 43, please? 443.
Under his wings I'm safely abiding. Under his wings,
We got someone coming in. Just a minute.
Sorry for the delay, everyone. Some technical difficulties as I'm running the sound back there as well today. That Jeff is out, and we'll need to keep on praying for him and his recovery. Anyway, good morning. Good to see everybody. Praise God. Let me adjust this here. Can you guys hear me a little bit better now with that? Praise God. All right. Well, Jaden is back there controlling the screen up here, so if you could just advance those through as I go, Jaden. And on the right-hand side of your bulletin today, our evening service at 6 p.m., the message is a revisit of Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the day we live, part one. This Tuesday, personal evangelism, that's March 22nd. We meet here at 6 o'clock. I go out with Dean myself, and we go out to a restaurant to try to spread the word there, so you're welcome to go with us there if you want some time as well. Otherwise, we meet here at 6 o'clock at church. The Women's Bible Study, if you are new to the group, please call Beth, and that is on the right-hand side of your bulletin. I won't read her number out over the airwaves, per se. So to confirm a date or to be added to the group. Iron Sharpens Iron will meet on Saturday, still at 9 p.m., I believe, the 26th. See Doug or Denny about that for times if that does change, or if you have an interest in joining us. Wilton Bible Study is Thursday, 31st, at 6 p.m. in the Presbyterian basement in Wilton. And, of course, happy spring to everybody. Some warmer weather coming our way. Praise God. Children's Message, March 27th. Fellowship to follow after morning service. Kitchen team is Carol Hetzler, Beth Martin, and Sandra Solis. Autumn also wanted me to mention we have a plan for doing something for Good Friday next year, something kind of thematic, I guess, is what we're looking at. So if you're interested in joining up with that and getting some more information, see Autumn, and we'll coalesce a little bit more on that and try to get something together and maybe have some more announcements on it. And we did have a good time yesterday as we went out to the Walcott Truck Museum as well. We had seven men show up, so praise God for that and the fellowship that we had, and we'd like to see some other men show up for some of those things as well, and for Bible study, of course. Iron sharpens iron. Pastor's thought for the week: Lord, help us when we fall over our pride to land on our knees versus landing on our faces. God help us. All right, and today we're getting back to putting the offering plates or sending the offering plates around through the church here, so I'll have the ushers come up in just a moment. In fact, go ahead and come up now. I have to get back into the swing here. And I'll go ahead and pray for that. And, of course, the plates are still in the back for anyone that wants to drop that off there. Otherwise, we'll pass the plates every Sunday, as we used to do. Praise God. Lord, our Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, and praise you for another wonderful day of life that you've given us, God. We thank you, God, for all that you do to care for us and take care of us, Lord, that you are mindful of us, and Lord, that you hear our prayers. And God, we pray that you will bless this time that we have today in your word, that you'll bless this service, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to the word that you have for us through Pastor John. And God, again, we pray for this offering that you will bless the gift today, bless the giver. And we thank you and praise you, God, for all that you are and do. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
you stand right here, Pumpkin. Since you're short. Ellie, can you see it?
We've been working on a hymn to sing for a while. It's called Close to Thee. And before we started practicing it, none of us had ever heard of it. Some of you probably have. Maybe others it will be new to you. But we've been working on doing some tin whistle with it, too. So Eleanor and I are going to try, aren't we, Ellie? Mm-hmm. And we'll let it be a blessing to the Lord, even if it's a little squeaky in your ears.
Amen.
Okay. I'll give us a little introduction, ladies, and then we'll begin. Well, maybe. I'll try this. For the Lord.
Amen. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Time to read our verses this morning. Just two verses. One is clear in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Then we're back in the New Testament for second verse. And it's in John 10:10. I think a lot of us are familiar with this verse also. The thief cometh not to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So that sums up what the Lord does for each of us, more than we can ask.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We do have just a few housekeeping issues to deal with this morning, but before we do anything else, I want to welcome you to services here at Fruitland Baptist Church, and we're glad for every person that's come through the doors. Trust that you'll have a great experience today as we delve into God's word, and that you'll be challenged and hopefully also comforted from the teaching and preaching of the word. But before we go any further, we did have an annual business meeting this past week at Fruitland. And so tonight, if you were elected into a new position of responsibility here, hopefully it was with joy, I'd like you to stand at your seats tonight, or today, excuse me. And I do realize that we're almost a half hour, almost 35 minutes into spring. The vernal equinox, okay? And that means the season of life. So if you'd stand at your seats, I want to pray with us together this morning. That God would help us in this new year if you were elected into a position of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together. Father, what an honor it is to serve you, to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray, Lord, as we go through this new year of 2022, which indeed is your year, that you will bless and prosper the work of Fruitland Baptist Church, and through the choices that you ordained of people that are to fulfill positions of responsibilities. I ask today that you would bless them and that you would help them today to walk with you just as we heard the girls sing. And Lord, that this might be a year that surpasses all others here in the life of Fruitland Baptist Church and the people that it serves and reaches in our communities. Now we thank you, Lord, for that privilege and opportunity to serve you. What a wonder it is to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that and realize that all people here are servants of the Lord. There's no one that's in a position where we're not where we ought to be, doing our very best in the trenches to serve him and to bring him glory. Along with that said, I do want to just introduce a few other changes that are a result of that business meeting that we had last Wednesday evening. And before I go to those changes, though, I want to briefly also mention that Marlon Epperly's mother has gone to be with the Lord, and some of you may have known that. I received a letter with an obituary. I believe she passed away a couple of days after Marlon had been here 2 weeks ago. So her obituary is back on the bulletin board in the back. There is a funeral service up at Wesley United Methodist Church on the 29th of March, and those details are there on the board. But remember Marlon and his family. Marlon came here for many, many years, and he still is a part of our family, even though he's distant now over in Kansas City. But I know that you'll want to encourage he and his wife, Terry, and his family at this time. Also, just a couple of things about the changes. Number one, there is a change for tonight. And due to some questions that have been brought to my attention and some desire to have some answers from God's word, I'm going to take the liberty that I have being the pastor here to declare tonight an open forum. Instead of the message title, that message is ready, and we may come back to that again. But we're going to at least declare tonight, maybe a couple of Sunday nights, an open forum. Does everyone know what an open forum is here at Fruitland Baptist Church? That's when we come together to discuss certain topics, and it's freewheeling. And so come tonight because we're going to talk about some issues that have been brought to my attention. We're going to be talking about some of the things that take place at the rapture of the church, when the rapture of the church is, about the tribulation period and the end of the church age, and specifically a question that was brought to me yesterday, who gets saved in the tribulation and who will not? So these are very important topics that I hope to delve into tonight. Come prepared, bring your swords. No, not for a fight, but for, you know, the sword, the word of God, to look into what God has to say about those things. We do some things like that here at Fruitland. We're not totally stoic and staid. We're here to live in reality and to live in the midst of God's word and his plan, and we talk to each other here, right? And you don't have to bring your brass knuckles or your nunchucks or anything like that, but we can have a good discussion about some of these issues. And I invite you to come to that. You'll find that very exciting. I hope anyway. Well, it will be for me at least. I think it's exciting to talk about the Word of God. Also, a couple other things that I ought to mention. Number one, at the meeting, we have discussed that we will no longer, in the near future at least, have the verbal announcements given in the morning message. That we're going to rely on the screen and our bulletins to fulfill that so that we reserve a little bit more time for our worship. So that'll be a change that'll be coming. Also, there is a change to our fellowships that we have currently once a month and honor birthdays and anniversaries. Next Sunday is the last Sunday of March, and it will be our last fellowship for 2 months because we are switching to a quarterly fellowship, and we are no longer going to have an afternoon service after those fellowships, but we will have our regular evening service each Sunday. So those are just a couple of things that the congregation decided, and I want to make you aware of those things today so that there's less opportunity for confusion. All right, thank you so much for hearing and understanding some of those things. Today, the message that we have revolves around Sanctity of Life Sunday. And so the issue that the Spirit laid on my heart this week, I think you'll find to be a very relevant one, but an often neglected one. And that very issue is sanctity of life regarding elderly people, of which I am one now. So I think you'll find this to be interesting, and we'll be pleased to know what God has to give us for a response and to give us guidance and direction for the plight of people that are getting along in years. So with that said, I welcome you this morning. We're glad for anyone that may be visiting with us. You're always welcome to come through these doors here where you'll find the teaching of the Word and the love of God. Shall we pray together? And also, I'll just say this. There is no handout today or on the screen, but you do have a note sheet. I don't know if many of you are aware of this, but on the back of your bulletins, there's a place that you can jot down a few notes. This just, again, was not a message that was conducive to writing a whole note sheet, and so we'll do our best to gain what we can, and you can highlight those things on that sheet. Let's go to prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Father, again, what a great day it is. The season of new life is upon us, the season of the resurrection. And Lord, we thank you today that we are not a dead church. This is not a funeral home. This is a church of the living God. And we have people here that are alive in Christ today. Lord, help us not to be somber and stoic, but to be jubilant and thrilled with the opportunity that we have to get together today with other believers and to sit around the Word and to be fed and to see the edification of the church. And Lord, the conviction even of the Spirit possibly in our lives today. We thank you for the outpouring of people. I know this, Lord, there's no one that is here today that is here by mistake. You have a reason. And Lord, my heart always goes out to many of our number, but also our community that are not here today. And there are reasons there as well. But I pray, Lord, today that you'll superintend in the lost in our community or the wayward of our own flock, Lord, or those today that may be struggling for one reason or another. We know that all the conditions that strike at the heart of man are prevalent in our lives. But again, Lord, today we can claim the victory that you won on the cross of Calvary for our sakes. And Lord, when you expunged our sins and forgave us and brought us into your family through adoption, we thank you for that, Lord. And that's the whole reason and purpose that we exist here, to share that love with those around us. Now I pray, Lord, today, again, for some of our folks that are recovering from major surgeries and other illnesses, difficulties that they may have, I pray that you would bless them and keep them, Lord, that you would draw them very near to you today. And we pray for where this message may land as it goes out over the internet, and Father, that there would be your word proclaimed and brought into the lives of many people today, even above and beyond those that are here. Pray for other Bible-believing teaching churches today. Lord, may you prosper them. And we pray today that there would be many souls added to your kingdom. And if there's one here today in this auditorium that needs you, Lord, I pray today will be the day they'll approach your throne of grace and receive you and believe on your name and be saved. Now, Lord, you know the last thing I'm going to pray about, and that's the person up here doing the praying, and I'm the weak part of all this. As always, Lord, I'm feeble, I'm weak, but you're strong, and I pray your Spirit will empower this message today, that it will bring you glory and will accomplish that which you intend. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends and followers of Christ, today is our Sanctity of Life message. Now, when you saw that in your bulletins today, what probably ran through your mind? What do you think he's going to speak on today? And I'm sorry? Yeah, that seems to be what centers around the Sanctity of Life messages and the focus of that. And I also want to call your attention on the back table. Deb has some pamphlets and other literature that revolve around the Sanctity of Life. You also may notice that there are some baby bottles back there on our mailboxes. And no, I want to tell you that Kim and I are not expecting. Right, Kim? Oh. But you know what? There are a lot of ladies today that are carrying God's creation in their wombs. Some of those ladies today will make a choice, and in the days ahead, how they will handle that. And you know what? Those bottles are back there to put money in, to help pregnancy resources. So in that respect, I will call our attention to the plight of the unborn, and the travesty of abortion. But let this be known, we can help in a small material way, along with our prayers and actually helping people in those plights. And those bottles are back there for that purpose today, that we would help to see a life preserved and an opportunity for them to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sanctity of life often revolves around that. But that's not the case today with me. And this is what God led me to. Our focus today will be directed toward God's endorsement of life surrounding the those classified as elderly. And I have to say, Jason, we got a problem on sound? Oh, I thought you were trying to hail me down. We're all right? Praise God. And I have to admit, as I look out over our auditorium this morning, that probably the majority of the people here in this room today are in or near that classification. Is that fair to say? I see quite a bit of gray hair. I see some like me that have no hair. I didn't say mo hair. I said no hair. By the way, Mo from the Three Stooges, didn't you always like his bowl cut? Yeah. That show was banned when I was a child. So, you know, it entices me today, but I have not been watching it. I just wanted to tell you that. So if someone here that's super spiritual, pastor watches violence and all that. No, anyway. But that's our current Western culture that says today, if you're 60 years or over, you're classified as mature. Actually, you're classified as elderly. Well, folks, we know this, that there are two forces that are at work. There are the forces of good that come from God, and there are the forces of evil that are at the behest of Satan, the fallen angel. And let's face it, folks, Satan has always attacked life, and in particular, the message of and the reality of eternal life for people since the Garden of Eden. So let me just say this. God is the author of life. He's the finisher of our faith. God is always in favor of life. Satan is not. He attacks life, and he especially attacks eternal life through Jesus Christ. His desire is for more companionship. This is Satan in a place called hell. But in his self-delusion and practice, he lost any hope of total victory for the race due to the victory won by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Satan is a defeated foe. Amen. Yet he has not been entirely put in his place yet. But let me just say this, God's going to do it one day. Hallelujah. Amen. And he'll never torment or enter into the situation for mankind again when he is safely locked in that lake of fire forever and ever. But you know what? He wants to nullify the victory that was won through Christ. Through his tricks of evil, such as abortion, those souls are guaranteed heaven through the gospel first introduced in Genesis 3:15. Many will see eternal life versus eternal death, and Satan already knows he is a defeated foe, but in spite of this, of that, his self-delusion prevails in himself as he was permanently defeated at the cross of Calvary. And that's the thing, folks. When we talk about abortion and those type of things that take place, you know what? Satan thinks he's got the victory, but God really has gotten the victory because those little lives are safely with him in heaven today. And that we know on the basis of this love letter called the Bible, God's Word. Death and destruction, folks, are of the realm of Satan. Eternal life and abundant life here on earth are in the realm of Christ, always. Eternal life and abundant life are always on the part of the Christ. So on this Sanctity of Life Sunday, let's look at some of these things that revolve around sanctity of life and the elderly. Number one, God's favor and focus is on human life. God's favor and his focus is on human life. He created it, he sustains it, and he provides for it eternally. The whole package. What God did, he did for us. Even in the fact that he created humanity, it was to have fellowship with the God of all time, of all the universe. That's what it's for. He wants fellowship with us. We know that was broken. But just two verses, and Doug's already read these this morning, but Genesis 2:7, and there are many more, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Life came and comes from God directly. He breathed it into the man he created from the dust. John 10:10, as Doug read, though, also talks about Satan and his role in these things. And Jesus is talking here, and he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. By the way, Satan is a thief. He's a robber of people, and he tries to rob them of eternal life that Jesus has provided for us. But he's also a murderer. He's in favor of killing. That word killing in the Bible is the word murder. It's premeditated killing. Now, the Bible has provisions in the Old Testament for killings that are for people that die by accident, and there are categories about that. But, folks, what Jesus used here, the term he used was killing. He was talking about murder, and he says that Satan is a murderer, the adversary, the enemy. He came to kill, to murder, and destroy. But Jesus says this, I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus not only wants to preserve life, he's the one that can give you an abundant life. And that's his desire for us today. And that's the good news, folks. It's the good news that Jesus has for us. Jesus always stands for life, even when his word commands the taking of a life. God never commands the taking of a life for light reasons. He has commanded it in his word when someone takes a life and kills and murders, that their life must be taken in payment for that. But Jesus is an endorser of life. He promotes life. Then when that happens, it's when it happens that there was a murder and it took a life from another by murder or killing, and because of the innocent standard of life that God maintains and values, that life has to be required by God, where there is shedding of blood. Again, in a reckless and ruthless way, there is that right that God gives to take that life from that person, that he would maintain the standard that we ought not kill, as he says in the Ten Commandments that were delivered to Moses. Well, the second point today that I'd like us to look at is the often neglected plight of elderly people. The often neglected plight of elderly people. Now, I don't feel elderly, but Kim and I's age falls into that group now by a few years. But I already do see little signs where you're made to think, you know, made to feel that you're somewhat irrelevant. Can any of you agree with that this morning? That you have passed over your prime, and so what's left is not all that valuable. Not everyone, but I get that little persuasion every once in a while. Maybe some of you do too. But let's face it, folks, the aging process leads to vulnerability. The aging process leads to vulnerability as we age for obvious reasons. We may lose the ability to care for and defend ourselves and our needs. And just as a baby needs nurturing care, so also do most elderly before their days on this earth are over. I'd like us to turn this morning to John 21:18. John 21:18, just one verse here. And what I want to draw from this, there is a theological message here, but that is not the point that I want to get from this. But Jesus was dealing with Peter here where he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And of course, that's a message for another day that's been preached upon before. But I want to focus on the end of verse 18. But here's what Jesus said to Peter, John 21:18. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest." What Peter's saying to Jesus here, he's saying, Peter, and he's talking about Peter's demise. Secular history says that Jesus' words exactly were confirmed, that Peter did go to the cross just like Jesus. He was crucified upside down, is secular record of the account of his death. But the point that Jesus brought there at the end of that is what I'd like to just talk about this morning. And what it amounts to is, as we age, we need help. Just like I illustrated, as babies need help, so do we at the end of life in many cases. And Jesus was basically telling Peter this very thing. He says, you know, you won't always have the freedom to do what you want to do. Sometimes someone is going to have to either help you, or they will make you and take you where you are going to go in the way that they want it to happen. Folks, what I'm talking about here, and I believe that Peter did willingly go for Jesus Christ, but what I want to illustrate from the end of that verse is that as we age, and for the elderly, that this is something we must understand, that in one way or another, elderly are oftentimes abused because they have lost their choice in the way that they would go, and they must do it with those that have the ability to control them. Do you agree with me this morning, folks, that this is a very much prevalent thing in our day? I'm going to illustrate that to you here this morning as we go on. Many times, though, the important supports of life are removed from the babies and the elderly because of their vulnerability that they have. And folks, that's a dangerous thing, and something in our culture that is rarely addressed. And that's why you're not hearing what you thought you would hear this morning. But I believe there is a need for this message to be spoken, because the elderly are still loved by God, and the elderly are still used by God. And we better have our priorities right, because there's some things that are going on in our world today that we maybe not are maybe not aware of. So here's the third point of the message. Sanctity of life is a big issue, largely unaddressed in our modern day culture for the elderly. I could have talked about euthanasia today. That could be categorized in here, but I'm going to walk around that. Euthanasia is, in a sense, and you'll see this in part, it's ending a life because a life no longer has value. But I will prove to you today from the Word of God that life of all ages, including the elderly, has value not only to God, but to those around them. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to talk about this morning. I already mentioned abuse. I want you to know today that there is abuse in many forms and that it is rampant regarding the elderly. Are you aware of that? Does anyone agree with that? Well, I am, and I've been around quite a few elderly people. And as I said, Kim and I fit that category now. But I have been in many care facilities. I've been in other places. And I believe with all my heart that these statistics I'm going to give you this morning are the exact truth. By the way, my statistics that I'm going to give you today, you can easily check, but they come from the National Council on Aging. And so these are just a few of the fast facts among many. By the way, I never take from something that I don't credit where I got that in the source. Here it is, folks. 5 million U.S. elders are abused in one form or another in the United States every year. 5 million U.S. elders. Now, we did talk about abortion. According to my calculations, roughly 1.4 million babies are aborted each year in the United States. That may have fluctuated in the times we live. And by the way, there are many strides there to try to protect the unborn lives. Okay? And I applaud those things. But count this up, folks. 5 million. And don't discount that a good many of those folks in one way or another that are in the elderly category also lose their lives. And I'll give you more on that here in just a minute. 1 in 10 of the population over 60 endures some form of abuse. About 1 in every 24 cases is ever reported. 1 in 24 cases is ever reported and acted upon. 60% of the abuse comes from family members. Many are adult children and their spouses. What do you think about that? I believe it. I believe it. I want to tell you something, too. Not that we're bust your buttons proud. I'm not. I hope I never have to use it. Kim and I both are mandatory reporters for all ages. I encourage all people to be aware of those kind of things and to be watching. I don't think these facts are wrong. I think it's the exact truth. Adult elderly care facilities factor into this as well. I've seen it. Social isolation, that's, by the way, social isolation is a fancy word for the fact that their families never visit them. Can't tell you how many people over the years I've talked to in care facilities. I have a son that lives here in town, and they begin to cry. He only comes once a year. By the way, I'm not putting anyone on a guilt trip this morning, but if the Holy Spirit is, these are the facts. That's a tongue twister. Social isolation and dementia contribute as well to these factors that come above that I talked about. Now, I want you to remember 3 B's this morning. Bones, bruises, and burns. Bones, bruises, and burns. Here are some of the ways that our elderly are abused. Number one, physical abuse. I won't go into all the details, but remember the 3 B's, bones, bruises, and burns. Sexual abuse, yes, that also happens in care facilities. Sometime read in the state of Iowa the facilities that have been disciplined for these type of things. I regularly get those on my phone. Emotional abuse, confinement abuse, passive neglect, meaning that essential items like food, shelter, medications, and so forth are neglected, not intentionally, but passively in many cases. Let's face it, folks, we live in a hectic and busy world. And then also you have what's known as willful deprivation. That's when people withhold those very things on purpose. It could be families, it could be a care center, other people that are enlisted and responsible for these folks. And then lastly, and this is there's more, but financial exploitation. I don't know if you're aware of this, but many times elderly people's bank accounts come up drained. Fraud. And this is rampant in our day. Houston, we have a problem here. Do we?
Yes.
I think we do. We need to watch ourselves, and we need to be aware of what God thinks about this, because I believe it is a sanctity of life issue like none other. Point four, elderly have a place in God's plan and program. Let's look at the word. Leviticus 19:32. I'm going to go quickly. We're hurting for time again this morning. If we don't get done, we'll finish it when we can. Leviticus 19:22. But I'm going to try my best. We're going to let the word speak for itself, and I'll just speak the word. Fair enough? And let's see. 19:32, excuse me. See, this is part of the problem here when you get elderly, the eyes. Leviticus 19:32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. The hoary head is what? The white head. And honor the face of the old man. And notice this, and fear thy God. Who said this? I am the Lord. That's who said it. Thus saith the Lord. Job 32:7. We're going to rock and roll here this morning, not literally. Job 32:7 says this. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. People that have lived a while have been through it and done it. They have a lot of resources that will help some of the young whippersnappers if they'll listen. They're important. Job 12:12. I know I'm a lefty here. Job 12:12 says the following. With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. I don't think the elderly ought to be thrown away. I think the elderly ought to be paid attention to. They are valuable. Psalm 71:18. Well, wait, before we get any further, Deuteronomy 32:7. Sorry. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32:7. And folks, I've only hit on a few of the verses where the scriptures talk about these very things. Deuteronomy 32:7 says this, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Don't say anything to those people that have experienced that. That's not what it says, though, is it? It says, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. You know, I had a person in my family that, and this is not referring to Kim and I, our close families. I had a person in my family years ago that would never go to the nursing home to visit anyone that was elderly. You know why that was? Because she couldn't face the fact that she may end up there someday. Get out with people. Get out with the elderly and talk to them. They're actually kind of fun to talk with. And you will not waste your time by talking with a person that has gone before you, especially if they're a person of the faith. Especially. I could get riled up about this. I just got a haircut this week, so the hairs on the back of my neck won't stand up. Psalm 71:18. Psalm 71, by the way, Psalm 71's a good psalm to read on this issue, but 71:18 in particular today. Psalm 71:18 says, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come. Also, when we're in that same chapter, Psalm 71:9, this is a good prayer for those of us that are elderly. By the way, that's still hard for me to accept. What I'm saying is, I can't believe how time has flown. I still feel about 30. But the mirror doesn't lie. But I still do. I have a lot of things yet I want to get accomplished in life. Believe it or not, I'm not ready to quit. But the fact of the matter is, this is a good prayer right here for this. That the psalmist writes here, that David writes, he says, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. We ought to be praying, not that we'll get retired soon or that the years go by, but that God would slow them down and we could get more done for him, that he'll preserve us. Amen. By the way, social insecurity isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Proverbs 20:29. Is anyone getting restless yet? Proverbs 20:29. Proverbs 20 and 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. What God's trying to get here, he's saying maturity is beautiful. By the way, have you ever just observed elderly people? I think this, they, in many cases, they have come to their fullest beauty as they age. I really believe that. I won't say anything further. I'm looking at Kim. I still think she's beautiful and getting better every day. So, Notice she did not respond. Isaiah 46:4. And even to your old age, I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you, a promise from God that you're still the apple of his eye, even in your golden years. And did I read verse 3? I did not. We need to read that. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. He's saying that God cares for people from what point? From the womb all the way through eternity. He loves you and cares for you. And folks, there's much, much more. Point 5. Can you endure this? I'm almost done. God's people have a place in God's plan for the elderly. God's people have a place in God's plan for the elderly. Quickly, 1 Timothy 5:3-4. And there's more. I'm just giving you some here. 1 Timothy 5:3-4. 1 Timothy 5:3-4. Notice here, there's a place of honor that's given to widows. And in particular, the scriptures delineate elderly widows. Elderly widows, a widow. And I'm going to take the liberty to say also widowers, but one who has lost their spouse. Verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed, and what he means there, that are of an age. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show plenty or piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. That's a mouthful right there. Young people, you're responsible for your elders. I'm sorry to have to tell you this morning, but that's what God says. Now we're going to look at these jokers here in a moment here, the Pharisees and so forth in Mark chapter 7. That's where I'm going next. It's not the government's responsibility to care for your parents. It's not the nursing home's responsibility to care for your parents, even though they may have to go into that facility. But you better be watching what that facility does. You better be assisting that facility. You don't go to Tahiti and let your grandmother be abused in the nursing home while you're laying on the beach. Now, I want to illustrate a word the King James uses here. It's the word requite. That word requite means to make a proper return for. And let me just say this. You change your children's diapers, they may have to change their parents. Do you get what that's saying there? That comes from Almighty God. Now verse 8. It's acceptable, it says, before God. Take close attention to this. I've preached on this many times, but usually not in the category today of the elderly. But it says, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house. That word house there means who? Your family. I shouldn't shout. I learned that in the classroom. It's better. He hath done what? Denied the faith. You've rejected what God has told you to do. Isn't that what it says there? And he is worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. If this puts someone on a guilt trip today, so be it. It came from God. Enough said. Mark 7:9-13. We're about ready to wind her up. Is everyone okay yet? Mark 7:9-13. And I've got a problem here on Mark 6. 6 and 9, there must be some condition that criteria, don't even listen to me. What did I say? Mark 7. Now I'm in Mark 9. Okay, we'll get it right, John. Mark 7:9-13. Jesus here is having a dialogue with the Pharisees again. And of course, the Pharisees are the right wingers. They're off in the right ditch. They're having, including all kinds of legalistic things. They're the lawyers, okay, that are going to try to trip people up and God's word up by a technicality. So here's the context here. We're looking at 9 through 13. And he said unto them, that being Jesus, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own traditions. You can read what took place prior to this. Jesus is addressing them and dressing them down about all their legalistic works that they've added to the scriptures. Verse 10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. I could have gone there today as well with this, out of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. And whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Korban. Korban, again here, is a sidestep for what's taking place here. The tradition of Korban, that is, something dedicated to God, permitted a son to be released from any obligation to care for his parents, thus breaking the fifth commandment. He would claim that his possessions belonged to God and were therefore unavailable for other purposes. The crooked rascals. You're a multimillionaire, but your mother lies with no supplies. And you say, well, technically, the law says I don't have to do anything for them. That's Korban. What did Jesus say about it here? Let's read on. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. They circumvent God's law, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Korban is not right. God wants us to take care of the elderly and others that cannot take care of themselves. It's not the government's responsibility. It was given to God's people. Amen. We're just about done. Anyone mad yet? Take care of them because we, you, and I are all headed there quickly. Someone may be here this morning in their teens or 20s or even younger than that. Well, that's a long way off. Well, you know what? I thought that too about 50 years ago. But it's here. Anyone have an amen on that?
Amen.
I can't believe it, like I said, that I'm technically there. Last turn in the Bible this morning, but there's a lot more turning we could do. Psalm 90, 4 through 17. Psalm 90, 4 through 17. I'm going to illustrate that, how fast things go. Kim and I sat this morning praying in the driveway before we came, Psalm 90. And we both said, another Sunday, it just seems like we were at Sunday yesterday. Another week has flown by, and how fast they go. Well, God tells us that very thing. You better get things done, you better get them done right, and you better get them done sooner than later, because time is our enemy. Time is our enemy. Here's what we're going to see in Psalm 94 through 17. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. What's being illustrated here by the psalmist is, it's going to go fast. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. That's life. Boom. Here today, gone tomorrow. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. What he's saying is we live in a sin-cursed situation. But if we'll give the Lord the victory like he's given to us, we can use those days for profit. Every day is a waste if we don't do something positive in it for the Lord. How many days have we wasted? How many more will we waste? Here he says in verse 9, I'm skipping 8, but for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We could all sit here the rest of the day telling stories, if you've got any age on your carcass at all, of what we've been through. And it went fast. The days of our years are 70 years. That's 70. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And our souls eventually will fly away. For the believer, they'll fly to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, they'll go into Hades, awaiting the great white throne judgment and condemnation to the lake of fire and brimstone called hell. There's only a short time that we're given. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to what? Make full use of every day that we may get wise a lot sooner than later in the things of God. Here's the conclusion. Share the gospel with people, especially with the elderly. Oh, I don't have anything to do. I don't want to go and have to deal. Why should you share the gospel with the elderly as a priority over younger people? Because their time is shorter, usually, than younger people. Jason, when we used to do Bible studies at the nursing home, we talked about that many times, didn't we? This is the place to be. Share the gospel with the elderly. They will be facing eternity sooner than the younger in most cases. Help them to enhance God's ministry through them by your ministry to them. Now there's a nugget for you from old Pastor John. I'll repeat that even. You don't hear that kind of profound. Help them to enhance God's ministry through them by your ministry to them. Because when I think about the different care centers here in town, there's a core few folks that I believe are Bible-believing Christians. And you know what? They're shedding their light in that facility. We need to enhance that. What is your part in the sanctity? Sanctity means the setting apart of the importance of life. What is your part of supporting the sanctity of life for Jesus' sake? And does it need to change in our lives today? That's a question we all need to answer and ponder. How about your own eternal destiny? Do you value it today? As I said, and as Psalm 90 just said, there's no guarantees. It's going to go quick. But the fact is, folks, whether we do or not, Jesus does. Because isn't that our whole premise, how we started today? Jesus is an endorser of life. Especially eternal life. Jesus does and is calling you to consider it today. Maybe you have sinned against God regarding an elderly person or any person for that matter. You know, the closest path is to go straight to God to get that fixed. Second path is to go to that person. But I know this today, folks. Jesus loves us and he's willing to forgive you and I and receive us today. And see a change take place. He wants us to come to him, and his arms are open and ready for us. I'm done yapping. Amen. Let's take our hymnals today and stand if you're able. 767. Oh, what a wonder. Think about this today. 767. Again today, God works whether you're in your seats. Or if you come forward, he's going to work today if you accept something and see changes or if you reject something. But I'm telling you this, folks, he wants to see us change. And this is just one of the many issues where we are messed up beyond belief because we walked away from God. Today's a day to walk to him. His arms are open waiting for you today. Oh, what a wonder. A simple chorus will be dismissed. And Doug, I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus found me. Out in the darkness, no light could I see. Oh, what a wonder he put his great arm under. And wonder of wonders, he saved even me. See, Jesus loves us all. He wants to hear from you today. and his door is open. He is the door. Run to him today. May God help us as we consider the sanctity of life, and in particular, the elderly. Have a great day. Doug, dismiss us, please.